countries or areas that they have in this prayer guide. And so I'm going to pass them out. And we will ask you in your prayer groups to pray for each of those countries. But the intention is you can take that paper home. And I realize that in a Wednesday night prayer group, you cannot go to the length that you would in your own personal prayer time. With all of the requests that we make, if each person that prays goes into any length of praying for it, we'd be here till maybe 10 o'clock. You say, well, that's not so bad. Yeah, but you might be the first one to get up and leave. And so, but you know, we can at least call the name of the country before the throne of grace and ask God to be with those believers and provide for them. And so, like I say, tonight when we go to prayer group, we'll ask at least one person in each group to ask for the Lord to provide for the believers in Afghanistan. And so that's the intention of that. I had a message for tonight, and it was going to be the completion of death. It would be the third message on the subject of death. And I had it ready. I had gone over it and prepared to do it. And then I began to read some prayer letters. And I thought, wow, that's good. Wow, that's important. And knowing I was handing out a page from the prayer guide, I can't say I really felt the Lord led me. If I'd be saying that, it would just be trying to make it sound spiritual. So, was he behind my thoughts? I'd hope so. Okay, but I don't want to sound like a super saint and say I was prepared for one thing, but God led me to do this instead. Because you can't honestly say that he did. All right, now, first thing we're going to look at is Manuel Gomez. Put a few letters on the literature rack if you do not get. How many of you get Manuel's letter through email? Anybody get through email? One? Two? Okay. Remember, all of our missionaries, you can sign up to get their emails. And I realize that most people, like if we have 10 missionaries that have passed through in deputation, if we have 10, and I think we have more than that, but if we have 10, and then we have our own 6 to 8 supported missionaries, that's 18. Most individuals are not able to keep abreast of 18 different missionaries and what all's going on in their ministry. I mean, that includes me. Didn't I make an appeal here a few weeks ago? If there's anything that's time sensitive, please point it out to me so that we can request prayer for it and so we don't miss it. That's because I can't keep 18 families in focus to the extent that we need to. But any individual can select a number that they can. Some people may only be able to do 3 or 4 missionaries. And if that's the case, you'll want to focus on our actual supported family. Now, some people can handle 6, 7 missionaries. You know, to read their letters, to comprehend what it says, to remember to pray, and then to do more than say, pray, God bless Manuel Gomez. To be able to take before the throne of grace the needs that he has. And so each of you has to find your own level. I know through the years, one of the things that was pointed out to me was decide who you're going to pray for. Assign them to a day. Okay, you have your Bible reading and prayer time each day. Well, then decide if you're going to do one a day, two a day. If you feel, well, I could pray for three a day, meaningfully, detailedly pray for three a day. Wow. Now, if you leave Sunday off because of the busyness of it, you got six times three, that's 18. You've just taken care of our whole mission involvement, okay? So you each have to decide what level you're at and how you're going to go about it. But I can guarantee you this, if you don't make a plan, you won't do it. Okay, and so I encourage you to do that. Now, Manuel Gomez, his just came. We just got this. He says, Pastor and church, it is great joy to share news about the ministry in this part of the world. Our God is on the move in... Sam? Yeah, that's the place.
Yeah.
Okay. If you couldn't understand her, if you didn't hear her, that's okay. It looks like Michigan to me, but I know that's not what it is. Construction of the church in Zinapakuro. Don't look at me, Sam. Look at the floor. Construction of the church in that city has been our main focus in the past months. Rebar has been tied, columns have been poured, concrete has been mixed, blocks have been laid. The hard work and diligence of our men has put us at 65% with the walls already finished. You'll see some pictures on the sheet if you take one of their things. And then he goes on and he says, each member of the church has been involved. We have a widow lady who has prepared food, supplies, and even monetary support at times the Lord is providing. But here's what I did highlight, and I don't know if this will help you. I have different color highlighters, and I use them, different colors for different subjects, just whatever I grab. In other words, there's no designated subject for a color. But that's so when I look at the letter, it doesn't all get lost in yellow, okay? I see the other colors. It makes it easier for me then to separate the different requests. Churches and individuals stateside have chipped in with financial help as well. This has helped us by building to buy building materials and pay wages. Here, this is significant. It seems that every day people in the community stop by the job site to ask questions. As soon as I saw ask questions, I assumed that it was going to be asked questions about the building. Listen, they stopped by the job site to ask questions about God and salvation.
Amen.
Yeah. You see, the activity of the church building is drawing attention. They know it's a church building, and hence it's even the construction of it has opened up door to tell them of God and salvation. Some have requested prayer. One thing is for sure, God is already in this place. The next stage of construction will be the metal roof. This will take us several weeks. Pray for our safety. From there, we will move to building bathrooms, installing windows, electric, wiring, doors, and flooring. Sound familiar? No. We can't have no idea what he's talking about. You see, now listen, those of you that have been involved in our church reconstruction, okay, and renovation, right now at this point, you'd be able to identify with that particular statement in his letter. And therein, you are able to know the kind of things to pray for him. And that's very meaningful. He goes on and says, funds for the latter part of the construction are still needed, yet we are certain that God will provide just like he has thus far. We pray that we are able to dedicate and begin the building by mid-summer. I am proposing that the Sunday school, and having talked to the treasurer, she said we are able within the Sunday school treasury, I'd like to see the Sunday school give a gift of $500 toward that building. Now, what we'll do next Wednesday, we'll have a special business meeting and we'll take action on it, all right? But we're notifying you of that now. Last paragraph says, while we have a trial in one hand, we haven't stopped reaching out and winning people to Christ. What Bible story is he have in the background of that statement?
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, who said they were on the wall building, but they had their sword in another hand. Okay? And so that's what he says. While we've got a trial in one hand, we haven't stopped reaching out and winning people to Christ. Our churches, as he is involved with more than one congregation, our churches have had souls saved each week and are almost at pre-pandemic levels.
Amen.
Amen? So they're close to getting back to normal. And that seems to be a goal we all want to have when it comes to the pandemic, getting back to normal. So that's great news. Now, who can tell me when we met Manuel Gomez?
Youth Week a long time ago.
Was Manuel, this section, was Manuel here alone?
No.
I accept that you're in it. Yes, Chelsea. No, he was not. Who was he here with? Does anybody know who he was here with in this section?
Was it his father?
His father. Okay. Jose Gomez, who had his father was very effective with the national pastors, especially in the southern part of Mexico. Okay. And Manuel has kept up contact. Jose hasn't. It's possible that because Jose is a good bit older, that he's just not into that communication thing like his younger son is, okay? Whatever the situation, Manuel has. And Manuel has been back here. He was scheduled to come back past summer, but then, of course, COVID. And so I expect we will see him again. So that's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it interesting to know that?
Yep.
See what you can learn when you read the letters. Did you see that one coming, John?
That's quick.
Yeah, that's the point. Okay, then next on my pile of letters that I was reading is Mission to the Amish People. How many of you get either into your home paper or digitally? How many? Wow, several more. Okay, good half dozen. I'm glad of that. Again, remember, to the rest of you, you can. I've got to reword that. To the rest of you, you can and you should. You like that, Tim?
No.
Yeah. Do you notice that when we pass out, you know, 2-3 prayer letters that we staple together and the girls pass them out for me? Do you notice Ruth Ann gets one, Pastor gets one? Now, that's because if she gives them to Pastor, she'll never see him again, okay? So we give Ruth Ann her own, but we also give Tim one. And we give, where's he at? There he is. Randy one. One time Randy said to me, he said, what are these for? I said, you're an adult. So you can read them and you can pray for them. You see, if we just send one into a home, the reader's gonna take occupancy of them. And the others, unless they're aggressive, aren't gonna be able to see them. And so where you've got young adults living in the home, we give them their own. Now listen to me. If, as a teenager, pay attention to this detail. If, as a teenager, you actually would read them and do something about it, you have your mother or father tell me, and I will see that you get your own set. Okay? Now we run off about 40. So I'm not going to run off five or six more for you to take them home and just lay there. Okay? But if you would like them, I would like to provide them for you. And you say, well, why can't I tell you? Because if your mom or dad tells me, I'll know that you talked with them, and they're telling me that verifies to me that they believe you will actually use them. You see? I got enough to do. I don't need to run off extra copies.
Right.
Ink costs money. Okay. Yeah, they don't give it away. I don't understand. First time I contacted them, I told them, I'm a Christian. And they wrote back and said, congratulations. Anyway, I will. You're a teenager. I'd like to, okay? But I need to know that you're going to use them. So anyway, we got the mission and to the Amish. Oh, their letters are so interesting. I'm only going to read this one. It's a testimony of Elsie Miller. I'm gathering from what's said in the letter, she's probably in her mid-30s. I grew up in an old order Amish community. As a child, I had a speech disability and trouble learning. I went through my school years insecure and without friends. My family life was dysfunctional. See, a lot of people think that because the Amish are conservative economically and culturally, that therefore they're spiritual. No, no. If anything, they are less spiritual. Okay, anyway, here we go. At 9 years old, my brother attempted to molest me. I ran away from him and God protected me. After that, something changed in me. When I was 11, I revealed to my mom what had happened. By that time, I was so confused and lost that I had locked everyone out of my life and felt that nobody understood me. Every time I would tell my family something, they would tell me that I was making it up. My brother turned our whole family and community against me. Community doesn't mean the town they lived in, like it does for us. It means their Amish community, the people that are involved in the church they attend. When I was in my teens, I was very troubled. I thought somehow that I needed to protect myself from everyone. My behavior and mental state went from bad to worse. I couldn't do anything on my own. I had no life skills. I was anxious and depressed. At the age of 16, I started prescription medication. The doctors put me on one and then another, but nothing helped. At the age of 21, I started getting curious about the world outside of the Amish community. At 27, I had my first mental breakdown. I was then at my worst. I went to Caring for the Heart Counseling, Light and Hope Ministries. Mary guided me through many things and also taught me about Jesus. I began questioning everything I knew about the Amish church. I felt confined within the culture and trapped by the rules of the church. I began searching, going from one church to the next, the strictest to the most lenient. I never found what I was looking for. I wanted to be successful and have a better life for myself. I was so frustrated. One day I told God, okay, wherever you want me to go, show me. I cannot do anything by myself without you. I had been in witchcraft, and the enemy had taken everything away from me. I didn't have a life. My family and everyone turned away from me. I came to the point where I couldn't stay Amish anymore. I wanted more. I knew that somehow I could have the life I wanted to have with Jesus, and I knew I wouldn't find it where I was. A month before I moved into New Beginnings Homestead, that's part of the MAP Ministries, I had no idea where I would go, but God in His provision sent someone across my path who gave me the phone number. My friend Joe Kime encouraged me, took me to church with him a few times, and guided me to the right decision. And I have been here for a year and 2 months. Here, meaning the New Beginnings Homestead, the ministry of a mission to Amish people. Joe and Esther Kime work together as a team in helping when there's a girl involved like this. Shortly after I arrived at the MAP Ministries, God provided a job along with a friend who taught me many things, became a protector and a father figure to me, and played a big part in my career success. William didn't let me get away with anything, but instead taught me the right way, whether I liked it or not, and most of all, he encouraged me and pushed me to be my best. As a mother figure and mentor, Velda. Now, Velda has been the bookkeeper at the MAP Ministries, has been there for many years. The previous letter told how she's going to be retiring, and a granddaughter of hers is now somewhat in training, though she's not been selected yet, to my knowledge. But that's who Velda is. She also played a big part in my success. She taught me and guided me in my relationship with God. With love, guidance, security, discipline, and most of all her example, I learned more from her than I ever did from anyone. MAP Ministries helped me to find myself to Christ on May 15th of 2020. God gets all of the glory for putting the right people in my path at the right time. As I continue on my journey, I hope to one day have a ministry of my own. I am now almost completely off my medications, have my driver's license, and with Jesus as my guide, I'm ready to go on my own and have the independence and spiritual freedom that I always wanted. All right. You read something like that. And the next time you pray, you'll be sure to include Elsie in your prayers. Now, another one I have here, is from Dan Bergman, posting the gospel. It's Dan, remember, we became involved with him when he was part of Jewish Awareness Ministries and Jewish Evangelism, he himself being Jewish. And then he has gone out into this worldwide digital evangelism. Now, that's something different. But, you know, I'm pleased that we're part of it, because we live in a digital world. We, as individuals, many of us are even involved. But to some extent or another, we could get by without it. But there's a whole world out there that that's not true of. Our own brother Dale, he wants to create an app because the prisoners are allowed to have a tablet. Hence, they'd have access to his app and much ministry. I'm glad that we're able to be part of this new, if you please, cutting edge kind of ministry. Wow, he said, since I wrote to you, 38 people have told me they have trusted in Christ as a result of watching my videos. Amen? And I know we're going to be a little leery. You know, did they really get saved or not? He says here, one of the most amazing things that I get to see through using social media for evangelism is that I get to see so many of these who tell me that they accepted Christ. I see them revamp their social media page. So you're thinking, okay, it's an evidence of change. Isn't that what we look for in people's lives? When they claim to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we look for a change. This is what Dan is doing here. He said, I've posted multiple videos about the biggest evidence of being truly born again, and that it is a changed life that is transformed from the inside out. That's the kind of counsel that he's giving to these people who get in touch with him. That's what he's telling them. So this isn't just some easy pray a little prayer, make a profession, and you know we're going to add you on the saved column. That isn't what he's about. Some change their profile picture, such as Samura. I'm probably butchering that too, Sam. A Hindu girl in India. How do you know? You don't know Indian. You wouldn't know it if you looked at it. She changed her profile picture from a selfie of her in a traditional Indian outfit that was not very modest to a drawn image of her walking with Jesus. Another fellow who made a profession of faith says, Frito's account was all about video games. As of right now, the only two posts on his entire account are the two that are pictured above, and that is two statements, one sentence statements about accepting Jesus Christ and having him in his life. He says, another amazing gospel interaction that I had, there are too many to write in this space, was a teenager in California. He messaged me looking for hope. His own words, he said, I feel dead inside. When I saw his message on Instagram, he had sent me 14 messages. He was desperate and at the end of his rope. He said that his parents would take him to church, but it didn't help. Of course, we don't know what kind of church he was going to. He said he was so stressed out and depressed. He said he didn't want to be here anymore. In other words, he'd like to die. I asked him if it would be okay for me to ask him some questions. So you see, Dan is not presuming to push himself into or on people's lives. He said it would be okay. I asked him, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that you would go to heaven if you died today? Now, I know that's not a phrase that a lot of people like to use, but at the same time, it is a door opener. He replied that he wasn't sure, and then he said, I talked to him about the importance of repenting from his sin. You see, he was going someplace with that traditional, if you died today, would you go to heaven? People can relate, unsaved people can relate to that. It's where you take them with whatever their response is. In this case, Dan took him to repentance. Do we endorse repentance? Huh? Do we? Yeah, we do. And that's exactly where Dan took him. And trusting in Jesus alone as his Savior. Now I could have read that and read right over that word alone. But that's a key word. When Dan said you need to trust Jesus alone, you can get a lot of Catholics to pray a prayer, but they're just adding something to all of their other Catholicism. But in this case, Dan knew to separate that sort of thing. He said, I asked him if I could send him a video that I made explaining the gospel and how to be saved. And so he sent the video. He said he watched the video and he sent me a message. He gave his name and he says, I got saved. And he said his whole demeanor changed. He is no longer hopeless. I send him my... Here's this important follow-up website. You see, what Dan did was not only establish a digital online evangelism ministry, he established a website for those who make a profession to go to, and they can therein get follow-up help. Amen. In fundamentalism There's a lot of people that are big on soul winning and little on follow-up. Dan's got that in his digital ministry. And I'm taking time to stress these things because I know in our circles, okay, this whole thing of online and digital, you know, it's not traditional. And therefore, something might not be right. Well, when D.L. Moody took a wagon, drove it around the neighborhoods where he lived and picked up children to take them to Sunday school, and that is often touted as the first bus ministry. when he did take it, that wagon around to pick up children, take them to Sunday school, that too was something new. Nobody had ever done it. And you can mark it down. D.L. got criticism for it. So he cared about kids. He is no longer hopeless. I sent him my follow-up website. I'm getting him plugged in. Now listen to this. He said, I'm getting him plugged into a good independent Baptist church in his area. Now there you go. He's doing everything that a local church would do and should do in order to reach people and then to work with the people they reach. This is what missions is about. A church cannot claim to be a missions church just because they have a map with some pictures and some lines on it. Okay? or that they have a rack with some prayer cards. Okay? That isn't what makes a church a missions church. I've heard it said already, well, this is a missions-minded church. No, I won't change that. Our goal is not to be mission-minded. Our goal is to be mission-hearted. We need to have a heart for missions. Because missions is when Joe Davis, and I don't have time to read his letter. I'll have to do that another day. Can you believe that? I just cut it off. You're going to have to wait now. You'll be sitting on the edge of your seat at home wondering. No, at home I said, not here. for those of you that are watching online, sitting on the front row is one of Pastor Son's. I like to interact with him and tease them. On the other end of that same pew is another one of the sons. They're something else. You know, they maybe shouldn't sit together. Okay. Really, folks, missions is not just a part of the church. It's what the church is about. We come in here to be taught. So we're prepared for death, yes. But not just so we're prepared for death. So we're prepared for God to take us and use us in the hearts and lives of other people. I hope it doesn't happen. But it is a blot on the testimony of churches, and they're normally in some of our larger cities, wherein missionaries from Korea, from Central America, from other Asian countries, those countries, let me just stay with South Korea as an example. South Korea sends missionaries to the United States of America. And there are some people who wonder, well, what are they sending them here for? They're sending them here because where they sent them, the churches that are there are not doing what they're there for. And they're not giving the gospel to their own cities, to their own neighborhoods. Are we giving the gospel to our area? I know we're a church, and we come in to be taught and to be strengthened for what? Just so when we die, that our funeral isn't difficult for Pastor because he knows we're saved and going to heaven? No, we're here to be taught personally to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, but then to share Jesus with others. Who shared Jesus Christ with you? What if they had not done so? Where would you be? Would you be lost? Of course you would. So we're gonna take your prayer requests before we get yours. Dale and family this Sunday morning are going to be at Farmersville Baptist Church. He's doing a pulpit supply. And then in the evening at Lighthouse Baptist. And then on Monday and Tuesday, they'll be at Seneca Falls Baptist Church for the men's fellowship. He'll preach there and he'll have a display.